We're reading John 20, that's 19 to 23. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
I think I should have told Shirley just to read on a bit longer. So if we have our Bibles open, we'll just continue. Where Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Well, those of you who, I hope you have got your journals, there is no PowerPoint tonight. I knew that we'll be scraping the barrel for somebody to operate, but thank you, Tina, we're really grateful. So I didn't want to complicate things by adding a PowerPoint in as well. And there was also another reason for it, because it may be that we sort of end up, not wandering, but maybe struggling to keep to any structure. Because as I sought the Lord for what we should just think about tonight, I had two things come to my mind. One of the lines of the first hymn, "Crowning with Many Crowns," "Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified," and the words of Jesus in John 20 to Thomas, "Come, see my hands." And I said to Christian, I've got these two phrases going round and round in my head. And so I know we've got to think around those things. And it's been hard to maybe get a full structure as such. But I believe this is what God wants us to just meditate on tonight as we draw closer to him. According to early church tradition, in about 1224, 2 years before his death, St. Francis of Assisi embarked on a journey to Mount Laverna for a 40-day fast. One morning, a six-winged angel allegedly appeared to St. Francis while he prayed. And as the angel approached St. Francis, he saw that the angel was crucified. He was humbled by the sight, and his heart was filled with elation, but also immediately joined by pain and suffering. When the angel departed, St. Francis was purportedly left with wounds in his hands and feet and side, as if caused by the same spear that pierced Christ's side. The image of nails immediately appeared in his hands and feet, and the wound in his side often seeped blood. Whatever we might think early church tradition about the authenticity of such a tradition or the authenticity of such a legend, whatever we might think about subsequent times in history where there have been those who've claimed they have the marks of the stigmata, the marks of Christ, appear on their body. One thing is for sure, in Reformed evangelicalism, we have rightly veered away from anything to do with idolatry and worship of icons and all those sorts of things. We've rightly steered away from that. But we mustn't at the same time forget that the risen Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples and he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them the nail marks that he had. We sung earlier, didn't we, those words, crown him the Lord of life. No, crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. Now, if you're taking notes and you're in your journals, here's something you might just want to put down. You know, as I thought about, well, what is the significance of Jesus showing his disciples his hands? What is that significance of saying to Thomas, look, come, see my hands? You know, the nail marks are nothing short of eternal reminders, are they? Jesus still bears them in heaven now. They are in beauty glorified. Yet they are eternal reminders of his death. Eternal reminders of his resurrection. Eternal reminders of his victory over sin and over death. I came across a story of an American Anglican clergyman. Let me just read to you what he says. One of the most remarkable things about serving communion, and of course in the Anglican church people come up to the communion rail, don't they, remember? He says, one of the most remarkable things about serving communion is the variety of hands that are outstretched before me at any given Eucharist. As I walk slowly down the row, I see all manner of hands attached to people that I love, attached to those people who challenge me, and attached to people who I've never met before. I see hands that are scarred, hands that are smooth, rough from working or inky from writing, older hands gnarled with arthritis. Some hands that open in front of me are covered with jewellery. Others are unadorned and sensitive. These hands tell people's stories. They tell of the garden you've planted, or the children you've fed, or the room you've just decorated. They tell of the sort of work you do and how you use your time. And I know that there are even more stories that your hands are not telling. Those secret tears you've wiped, those wounds you've healed, about what you have built and what you've broken down. That's pretty true, isn't it? Because hands tell a story. And that was really the whole key, isn't it, to Jesus appearing to Thomas. His hands told the story. He'd already appeared to the other disciples and Thomas wasn't there. He'd missed out and Thomas would not believe the resurrection. He would not believe what the other disciples told him. He said, unless I see it for myself, I will not believe. Thomas wouldn't believe at all what they said, and he says that unless I put my finger in those nail marks, unless I can prove it myself, I just won't believe it. And then Jesus graciously appears, doesn't he, that week later, and he says to Thomas, put your finger here, just see my hands. And just put yourself in that room for a moment. As Jesus said, look, see my hands. Just imagine the story that those hands told. There they were outstretched. There the nail marks were. They were healed. They weren't open wounds, I'm sure, but you know, the imprint was still there. Eternal reminders, you see. They were infallible proof, weren't they, for Thomas, that the person that now stood in front of him was the same person that he had followed as a disciple. It was the same person who he had seen arrested and crucified, and who he had seen die, and who he knew was put in the tomb. It was the same person. It was not somebody different. You know, we've all had that experience, haven't we, where maybe we've chatted to somebody and then we don't see them again. And all of a sudden, maybe 3 or 4 years later, they come up to us and they start talking to us and the little grey cells start going, well, who on earth is this person? And sometimes it doesn't even take 3 years for it to happen, does it? But, you know, sometimes a lot can happen in 3 years, can't it? You know, somebody can be really ill and they can have lost a lot of weight. People kind of have changed their appearance, and they could have sometimes even be a former of their a shadow rather of their former self. And at times, you know, it's not until they actually introduce them and tell you their name again, that you know who they are. And sometimes we think, don't we, well, you know, if you hadn't told me, I would not have recognised you. We've all been in that experience, haven't we? And you know, for Thomas here in the upper room, Thomas could no longer dispute the resurrection, for he saw Christ's hands. There was no more doubt. He could no longer doubt. He'd seen the hands of Christ. Some years later, when John was in his exile on the island of Patmos, and he had this wonderful revelation, this peek into heaven that he received from God. You remember those words that John records. He records in his vision, and he says, "Look, I turned to see the Lion of Judah. And as I turned, I looked and I saw a lamb, looking as though it had been slain." He'd expected to see this Lion of Judah, the lion that had triumphed. Of course, in his vision, neither the lion or the lamb was a literal lion or a lamb. They are all descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't they? They're all figurative terms for him. And the Lion of Judah is the lamb that looks as though it has been slain. That's important. It looks as though it has been slain. It's not a dead image. It just looks as though it has been. We often say looks can be deceptive, don't we? We often say that things don't really look, appear what they seem to be. We can be taken in by looks. But as John has this peek into heaven, in his vision the Lamb is alive. But it bears the marks. It looks as though it has been killed. You see, those wounds still visible above are in beauty glorified. Those wounds are an eternal reminder, but they are also the source or the theme of eternal praise that goes on in heaven. The angels that are ever singing round the throne of light, as the hymn writer says, what are they singing? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Those nail marks. The nail marks that Jesus invited Thomas to come and see. And by faith, the nail marks that he invites us to see. They're not just reminders, they are the theme of praise in heaven. For Jesus has triumphed over sin, over death, and over hell. J.B. Phillips, he did a paraphrase, didn't he, of the New Testament many years ago, but he also wrote many short stories. And I remember reading one of his short stories, which was about a senior angel showing a junior angel around the cosmos. And there the senior angel has taken the junior angel on the sightseeing tour of all the planets. And the junior angel picks out planet Earth. And the junior angel says, what's this planet all about? And the senior angel says, well, that's the planet where our Lord of Glory went. That's the planet that he chose to love. Yet that's the planet where they killed him. You know, it's a never-ending theme of praise and wonder to the angels that God should have left heaven and come to planet Earth. Of course, the angels announced his coming, didn't they? When he came to Bethlehem, they came as far as they could. They announced the good news to the shepherds on the hillside that in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you and he is Christ the Lord. They came as far as they could and they praised God, a whole company of them praised God in a loud voice, saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. But then of course they went back to heaven and Jesus was here and he was born. And he lived, and he died. And so this junior angel who's still being taken on this whirlwind tour of the universe just can't understand all of this. And the senior angel says, well, it's because God just chose to bestow his love upon this planet. That's why John saw this scene in heaven, Revelation 4 and verses 11. You see the angel song, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." And in Revelation chapter 5, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Eternal reminders. Eternal theme of praise. But you know, the wounds in the hands of Jesus are also terrifying reminders. Why are they terrifying reminders? Well, you know, as Jesus invites us to come and see his hands again tonight, those nail marks are terrifying reminders of God's justice as well as his mercy. We often sing the hymn. In fact, we sung it around Easter time a lot, didn't we? "When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Saviour." But for those who've rejected him, for those who won't bow the knee, for those who purport today all the time in the media, "God does not exist." For those who say we don't need God, or those who scorn God's grace and his mercy, those wounds which are still visible yet in beauty glorified are wounds that will condemn. And it's a terrifying prospect, isn't it? You know, the fact that those wounds will condemn is well spoken about in the Old Testament, in Zechariah. Zechariah says that when he comes, they will look upon the one they have pierced. Revelation 1:7. Again, talking about the time when Jesus comes. "When he comes, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And then they will mourn because of him." You know, when it says they will mourn, it means they will literally beat their breasts. They will literally be beside themselves. They will literally be in distress and remorse and sorrow as he comes. Why? Because he comes to judge the world in righteousness, and he comes to judge the peoples with his truth. Like Thomas, when he comes again, our glorious King, people will see. They will see his hands. They will see his feet. They will see the scars that speak of sacrifice. Yet they will be terrifying marks. For they will be marks that judge. You know, Jesus invites us to come and see his hands tonight. They're also hands of peace. I love that encounter in that room on the resurrection night. The disciples so terrified, so bewildered by everything that's happening. When Paul would later write to the Romans, he wrote these words, that since we have been justified, or since we've been made right with God through faith in Jesus, we now have peace with God through Jesus Christ. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, when Jesus appeared to Thomas, there wasn't a ticking off because they were in hiding. "Come and see my hands, what peace be with you. See my hands, the hands of peace." You know, when Jesus said, "Peace be with you," it was the traditional Hebrew greeting, shalom. We literally translate it as peace. It's not like a 1960s hippie style of, you know, sort of peace, man, you know. This is peace, real peace. It's a perfect peace. It's a personal peace, because he says, "Peace be with you. See my hands. Peace be with you." It's something that we can experience in our life. Contemplate the nail-pierced hands of our Saviour tonight and realise they are hands that bestow peace, a peace that flows like a river, a peace that when sorrows like sea billows roll, a peace that causes us to say, whatever our lot, it is well with my soul. You know, that's why the hymn writer wrote that lovely hymn, isn't it? Stayed upon Jehovah. You know, fixed upon God. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. You know, my friends, as we gather just as God's people tonight, Jesus says, come and see my hands. Come and see. You know, they're also hands of healing, aren't they? I don't want to get into too deep water here, but you know, there are many sort of instances in the Gospels where Jesus healed. Do you remember about Jairus' daughter? Mark chapter 5, verse 41. He took her, that's Jairus' daughter, he took her by the hand, his hand into her hand. And he said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl got up and walked around. She was 12 years old. And at this they were completely astonished. Mark tells us about a man in Bethsaida in Mark chapter 8 and verse 23. This man was blind. And this man was begging Jesus to heal him. Mark chapter 8 verse 23 tells us again, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people, they look like trees walking around. But once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. You know, there's much controversy, isn't there, today about miraculous healing. You know, does miraculous healing still occur? Yet the nail prints in the Lord Jesus' hands are hands of healing. They always were, they always will be. You know, miraculous healing, if it's in line with God's sovereignty, then yes, of course, it certainly happens today. No doubt about that whatsoever. But you know, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he invites us to come and see, they are still hands of healing, even if it's not miraculous physical healing. I came across a quote from Johnny Erickson Tada. Do you remember the quadriplegic lady in America? Listen to what she says. I've been in my wheelchair now for over 3 decades. And thankfully I have found deeper healing than physical. A healing that satisfies. A profound peace, a settled soul, a strengthened faith, and a more lively hope of heaven. I've experienced the great physician in a fresh, new way. You know, that's, come and see my hands. They are still hands of healing. And we can experience, like she did, the great physician in a new and fresh way. The song reminds us, doesn't it, that he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And through that, you know, we are healed. We're ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. You know, come and see my hands. They are still hands that heal. And you know, as Jesus invites us to look at his hands tonight, those hands still have that healing power. They're also hands of strength, aren't they? They were ordinary hands. As we said at the beginning, hands tell a story. Maybe they'd got some scars from when he was working in his dad's carpenter shop. Maybe he'd been a bit clumsy with a chisel or, you know, put a screwdriver through the fleshy part or whatever. You know, there may well have been marks from, you know, the carpenter shop. They were ordinary hands of flesh, but they were hands that had touched and brought healing. But as we sang this morning, they were also hands before the beginning of time that held the oceans. They held the oceans in those hands as God, as well as bearing the guilt of sinful man. And so as Jesus invites us this evening to look at his hands, see my hands, see the nail prints, now, he wants us to see again the strength of his hands. He wants us to see again the strength of the salvation that he has wrought for us. His hands have worked something that we could not work for ourselves. For he alone is able to save. And what's more, those hands are so strong, because the Bible says that none shall pluck any of us who are truly his out of those hands. You know, friends, you need assurance tonight. Come and see my hands. Just look. Look what I've done. Look how strong my hands are. I'll never let you go. They're also hands of blessing, aren't they? Mark 13, there's that lovely little passage where Jesus takes the children in his arms and he blesses them. It's a lovely picture, isn't it? I can just imagine sort of Jesus, you know, sort of hugging them, if you like, close to him. The disciples were so put out, weren't they, that Jesus should even entertain the children. Yet, he gathers them up in his arms and he affirms them and he encourages them and he puts his hand on them to bless them. You know, the Bible talks, doesn't it, that we have to have that same childlike faith. Not childish, but childlike. That complete trust in who Jesus is. And we often pray for God's blessing for ourselves, for his hand to be upon us, for his hand to be upon what we seek to do here as the church. And again, as Jesus invites us this evening to come and just see his hands, he invites us to have that childlike, simple faith in him. The hands that bear the marks of Calvary are hands that bring blessing. We read Psalm 115 in our call to worship. Psalm 115 verses 12, 13 and 15 say, "The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great alike. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." As Jesus invites us to see his hands. The hands that bear the nail marks are hands that bring us every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," Ephesians 1, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. See my hands. Want to be blessed? Have faith in me. Simple, childlike faith. And you know my hand of blessing on you. Hands that bring life, the last thing. If you do a study of John's Gospel, you will see that there are two themes in particular which John has in his heart and in his mind. Of course, they're inspired by God as he writes. And he constantly talks about Jesus as the light of the world and the life. Light and life are themes that he has firmly fixed in his heart. And as John writes this encounter of Jesus appearing to the disciples and to Thomas on this night, John says that Jesus did many more miracles, many more miraculous things. He appeared to many more people than he has just written. But John says, what I have written, I've written down. For what reason? I've written down so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus says, come see my hands. And by faith, as we come and see his hands, we have life. It's the complete opposite, isn't it, to death. Jesus has defeated death. He has defeated sin. The Bible says, where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death has been swallowed up in victory. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come see my hands, they are life-giving hands. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He came, Jesus says, I think it's John 10, isn't it? I've come so that you might have life, and life to the full. Eternal life, secured by those nail-pierced hands. Come and see. Come see my hands. Those hands that flung stars into space are now to cruel nails surrendered. But my friends, this is our God. And he calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. May God bless us. May he encourage us. May he just thrill our hearts as we've worshipped and meditated on him tonight. Let's just pray together. Lord our God, we do thank you. Thank you that you revealed yourself to the disciples and especially to Thomas. Father, thank you for that invitation to just look upon your hands. Father, we thank you that we can do the same too. That we can be blessed, just as Thomas was blessed. That we, like Thomas, can affirm my Lord and my God. Father, just send us out, we pray. Loving you more. Being drawn closer to you more. Being lost in wonder, love and praise. And in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.